Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Nun. Begin on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing the discussion of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about different things that can be used as hatmana, as insulating from before Shabbos, because these things do not increase the intensity of the heat, they only insulate and they maintain the heat that was already there. And one of the cases that the Mishnah says was Begizei Tzemer. However, ve'imatatlin, that shearings of wool can be used because they do not increase the intensity, they only maintain. However, it cannot be moved on Shabbos because it's muktzah. And that the Gemara qualifies the statement that Amar Rava, lo'yishonu elish lo'y toman behen. This that we said that they're muktzah to be used, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, because they're things that are designated for weaving and for sewing, and therefore they're set aside that you don't want to use it for mundane purposes on Shabbos. That's what qualifies as muktzah, and it's not prepared for regular use on Shabbos. Rabbi says it's only if it was the tzemer, which was not utilized for insulation, for, so to speak, maintaining the heat with it on Shabbos. But if you had used these gizei tzemer, these shearings of wool, for insulation from before Shabbos, then those shearings of wool could be moved on Shabbos. And that's because with your action, you, so to speak, used it and designated that it is prepared because you're using it for a Shabbos purpose. And it's not muktzah, it's not set aside for other things. And right now, the Gemara thinks that when it's said in the Mishnah, it said two different statements. And that this that it says that you're not allowed to move it was not going back on the previous statement of the case of that you can be tumen with them, that you could insulate with it. There was two different halachas. You can insulate with them. And if you don't, you can't move it. Generally, they're muktzah. But if you did insulate with it, then it would be muktzah to move it. To which the Gemara asks, but Eitzvahu Mirabbanan Bar Yoimi L'Rava. But there was one of these one-day students that asked Rava. That is, that day he came to the Beis Medrash for the very first time. He asked him from the Mishnah. He said, the Mishnah said that you can insulate with shearings of wool, but you're not allowed to move it. And the Mishnah says, Kesuroi says, so what do you do? If you can't move it, so then how are you going to use it on Shabbos that it's insulated? You won't be able to get to it. And we continue on to the top of Nun Omer Aleph. So the Mishnah said, that you take off the cover, and so to speak, indirectly, the shearings of wool will fall off. So you see from the Mishnah explicitly that even when you insulate with it, that it is still aser to move it. And that is even when you're doing it through the cover. So therefore, that's explicitly not like what Rabba said, that it would be mutter if it was insulated with it. So therefore, the Gemara revises and says, rather, the statement of Rabba was as follows. Not that, Rabba didn't say that if you had used it for hatmana, that's not enough. But we only said that it's also to move it, that it's muktzah on Shabbos, it wasn't designated for insulation, that is forever. And that is, he said, I'm not using this anymore for weaving or whatever purposes, I'm making it just for insulation purposes, my Shabbos, so to speak, hatmana purpose. But if it was designated for hatmana, then you're allowed to move it. And therefore, it's not like the case of the Mishnah, which was you just used it for it, but rather you designated. Now, of course, it's removed from its muktzah status, and now you're designated, because even a rock that you said, I'm using it as a doorstopper, it's no more muktzah machmas gufa. It's not something that has no intrinsic worth. It becomes a doorstopper. Here, it becomes something that's used for Shabbos. As the Gemara says, Itmanam, because Rabban Amir Yaakov and Abbasi ben Shaul Amir Rabbi, Lo'yishonu elish lo'yichtan l'atmana, our Mishnah that said that it's aser to move it, even if you had used it for atmana, you're not allowed to move the shearings of the wool only in an indirect way by picking up the cover. It's only if it wasn't designated now from here on for atmana purposes for insulation. But if it was designated, then you would be able to move it. That's one teretz the Gemara gave to understand the Mishnah. Ravina says that in truth, it says Rava initially said that if it was used for hatmana on that Shabbos, it would be mutter to move it. And the reason is because it's as if you designated. By actually using it, it's almost a designation. But Rava wasn't going on the Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about a specific case. As he says, Rav Vina says, that our Mishnah was talking about Bishal Heftek Shanu. Our Mishnah was talking about a case of a warehouse. That there you're definitely going to bring it back. And although you used it this Shabbos, you're not designating it for that. And therefore, our Mishnah is different. That's why even if you used it, you still can't move it. But Rav was talking about generally that it's not from a warehouse. Once someone uses it, it, so to speak, his action designates it for it, and therefore you'd be able to move it, even if, so to speak, you didn't designate it for that forever. As the Gemara brings Tanya Mahachi, similarly we learned in the Braisa, Gizei Tzemer shall heftek imetal nosen, that the sharings of the wool of a warehouse, that you're not allowed to move. But if the homeowner prepared it for that purpose, then you'd be able to move it. And that's the idea that we see, that because from a warehouse, you're going to put it back. And even if you're using it, it's not a designation, but regular, so to speak, cases that when you're, so to speak, using it for atmana, then just the usage alone would permit it to be moved on Shabbos, because you see that he's using it for a purpose that's going to be used on Shabbos, and therefore it's not muktzah. So the Gemara continues on a similar theme. Tana Rabba Bar Chana Kamei D'Rav. He taught him the following halacha. that the branches of a date palm, of a date palm tree, that were harvested for firewood. But then he changed his mind. He's not going to use it for firewood, which is something that's muktzah on Shabbos, because it's Isser and there's things which are not used for other things. But then he changed his mind that he wanted to sit in it. So the halach is, if you want to be able to use it on Shabbos, that it shouldn't be muktzah, because originally it was a muktzah item. Tzarech lekasha, then you have to tie it up. You have to tie it up into one bundle from before Shabbos. So to speak, to show, to prove that now you're using it for sitting. That's why you're making it, you're putting it in a pile that it's, so to speak, that's usable for sitting. But if it wasn't tied up from before Shabbos, it would be usur to move it even on tomorrow on Shabbos, because you didn't, all you did was you designated with your thought, but you didn't do it action, and you require an action to, so to speak, create and undo the muktzah of it and to create it into a prepared thing that it's, a, so to speak, a bench now. It's not any more firewood. However, Shem Gamliel ain't tzarech lekasher. Shem Gamliel argues on Tanakhama, says you don't have to tie it up, it's enough. As long as I said, hey, I want to use it for a bench, and that's it, it's not muktzah anymore. And the Gemara says that that Rabbi Bachana taught this from the Rav, he taught it, and then he explained it, and he said, halacha k'rei b'shem Gamliel, the halacha follows b'shem Gamliel, and that it's enough with a machshav, with a thought, that as long as I intended it for a chair, even if I didn't tie it up, it's going to be non-muktzah, and it's going to be usable on Shabbos. Similarly, the Gemara brings that itma, Rav amakosh, Rav says that you have to tie it up. Ushmul amakosh, Ushmul says it's enough if you just intend for it. Ravasi amayesh, Ravasi says that as long as you sat on it from before Shabbos, and even as the Gemara says, even if you didn't tie it up, and even if you didn't intend it, so to speak, you didn't think, oh, tomorrow I want to use it as a bench, it doesn't make a difference. Once you sat on it, you revealed that in your, so to speak, subconsciously, by sitting in it, you showed that you want to use it for sitting, and therefore, even if you didn't intend it for tomorrow, it's not going to be muktzah, it's going to be a bench, it's no more firewood. But now the Gemara wants to understand this three-way machloik is about Amirah. Bishlam Rav Hu Dama Katana Kama. We understand Rav has a Tana like him, which is the Tana Kama that says that you have to tie it up, and he says you have to tie it up. Ushmul Lami Hu Dama Kri B'Shem Gamliel. Shmuel that says that it's enough, you don't have to tie it up with, so to speak, with intention. It's like the Rav B'Shem Gamliel that says you have to be Chayshav, it's enough if you intend it. Ravasi Dama Kaman. Who's Ravasi? Like which Tana? You, so to speak, both Tanaim say not like him, that's enough just to sit on it, even if you didn't tie it and you didn't even intend it. So the Gemara says, Hu Dama Ki Hai Tana. He says like the following Tana. The Tanya, like we learn the Braisim. Yoitzin b'pekayrin u'betzifa. That one is allowed to go out into the Rishos Ram, into the public domain, with combed flax and with combed wool. And these are different things that they would put on a wound that they, so to speak, like a bandage. However, that's bizman shetzavan b'karchan b'meshicha. That's only if it was dipped and it was wrapped it with a string, and that is, it's so to speak, prepared as a bandage. However, loitzavan b'karchan b'meshicha in yoitzman. But if it wasn't, so to speak, dipped and it wasn't wrapped with the string, then one is not allowed to go out with it into Rishos HaRabim. Because if he, so to speak, he did these preparations, then he, so to speak, revealed in this thought process that he's using it for a wound as a bandage, and that he's going to put on in Shabbos, and therefore it's not muktzah. And although refuah, the healing, is asr on Shabbos, this is not considered refuah, because it's just that it shouldn't get, so to speak, brushed against something sharp that it should hurt him. It's almost like a clothing, to a protective boundary, but it's not a healing thing. However, if one did not prepare it from before Shabbos, then it's not a malbush, it's not an article of clothing, then it would be considered a masay, like a baggage that he's carrying, and that you wouldn't be able to go without it into Rishos HaRabim, because that would be considered carrying. However, the Braisa continues, Vim yotz ben sho'achas meboy yom. But even if you didn't, so to speak, prepare it from before Shabbos, you didn't do like the equivalent of kosher, of tying the bundle of wood, and you didn't even think about it from before Shabbos, all you did was that before Shabbos, you wore it as a bandage out into Rishos HaRabim. So then, even if you didn't do all these preparations to, so to speak, define it as in its characteristic as a bandage, it would be permitted to go out with it on Shabbos. And that's exactly like Ravasi, that as long as you sat on those pile of wood, you, so to speak, showed that you're using it as a bench. And even if you didn't tie it, even if you didn't intend it, here also, that as long as you went out with it from before Shabbos, you showed that that's what your purpose of it is, and if it's going to be mutter, even if you didn't, so to speak, prepare it or even intend it. So the Gemara says, Amr Ravashi, Afananamatinin, we also learned that from a Mishnah like Ravasi. That is, we learned Hakash al Gabe Mita, regarding straw that's on a bed. And generally, straw was used for cement, whether to make a fire or to, so to speak, create a brick. Therefore, it's muktzah. And therefore, if it was on a bed and it wasn't for sleeping purposes, and then on Shabbos he wants to go to sleep and lie down on that straw, so he's going to have to shake it up and spread it out that he can lay on it, that it shouldn't be, so to speak, stuck together and hard. So the halach is, lo yanenu biyadoi, so he's not allowed to shake it with his hand, because again, it's muktzah, so to speak, for things that are not usable on Shabbos. It's for things that are set aside. So therefore, you're not allowed to shake it around with your hands. Menana meguva, but you're allowed to shake it with your body, because that's what's called kolachia. That's indirectly that you're allowed to use a shina with your elbow, with your ankle. You're allowed to use other body parts. But if it was designated for animal food, or if there was a pillow or a sheet on this bed that had the straw in it from before Shabbos, and that is he had already slept in it from before Shabbos, that's why there was a pillow and a sheet, then even if it wasn't designated for it and they didn't think about it, that's like Rav Asi that we see Menana B'Yodi, then you're allowed to shake it with your hand, Shema Menod. So we see from a Mishnah, even like Rav Asi, that not only don't you have to tie it and do active preparation, and you don't even have to think about it, but as long as you utilize it in that, so to speak, form, then it's already permissible in that form on Shabbos, and therefore, just like here by the straw, that although you never designated and you never did anything to it, all you did was sleep on it, it's going to be mutter to move it on Shabbos with one hand. Now the Gemara goes back to that machloikis that was brought. Who is the one that argues in the Rishim Gamliel and that he said that you have to tie it, and the argument in the Rishim Gamliel that it was enough just with intending with it for using it as a bench on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, that's Reb Chanina ben Akiva. Dechiasra avdimi, oma zi'iri, oma Reb Chanina. Pamachas holach Reb Chanina ben Akiva lamokam echad. He was saying, the Zi'iri was saying that this Tana, one time Reb Chanina ben Akiva once went to a certain place. Umatza charoya shel dekel shagodrum loshum eitzim. And that he found that these branches of the date palm that was harvested for firewood. And he said to students, go out and mentally designate it that we could use it as benches on Shabbos, that we could sit on it tomorrow on Shabbos. However, Ziri said, and I don't know if it was a place of a chasna, or was a place of mourning, and therefore it was mutter, so to speak, just to mentally designate, as the Gemara says. From the fact that Zi'iri said that I don't know by this story of Reb Chanina ben Akiva why it was enough just to mentally designate it, because it was a chasno, it was because of a house of mourning, that you see that Davka Beis HaOvel Beis HaMishta, the treaty that only in a house of mourning or a house of a simcha where they're preoccupied and they weren't able to tie it up from before Shabbos, there it's permitted without tying and just with, so to speak, with intending for it on Shabbos it would be mutter, but generally not. But here, in the regular case where if it was bound, if it was binded and tied from before Shabbos, then it would be mutter. But if not, it would be aser. And that's the Tana that says that it has to be tied up. Because you see, the only reason why Zi'iri said that the story of Reb Chanina ben Akiva was that it was mutter to just mentally designate it was because they were busy, they were tired. But generally, you would have to tie it up. And that's the Tana that argues in Shem Gamliel. So on this theme, the Gemara continues that Amr Yehuda, Machnes Adam Maloiku Pasei Offer. A person is allowed to bring a basket full of earth, and they could do all his needs with it on Shabbos. In other words, it's not muktzah. They could use the earth to cover spit or other things on Shabbos, and it's not muktzah. And he qualified the statement, that's only if he had set aside this earth in a corner, that is, you want to use it to cover, again, this excrement or the spit, and you're using the earth that's in his, so to speak, in the house, and their houses, they generally didn't have floors, they was made out of earth. So as long as he had a corner designated for it, so that's considered mukhan, that's like prepared for that. However, if it's just in the middle of the house where people walk around, then it's, so to speak, a bottle. It's, so to speak, nullified to the ground of the house, and therefore it'd be considered mukta, like the ground is, and then it would be usher to use for one's purposes. But if you set it aside, then it's not mukta. So Amar Rabban Kamedra Papa Kaman, who is this like this halacha? That's Kribb Shemim Gamliel. That is that he said that it's enough as long as you intend it, that because since over here you don't have an action that's proving that you want to use it tomorrow because it's the same earth as everywhere in the house. But as long as you mentally designate, hey, that corner I want to use to go ahead and cover the things that get dirty on the floor on Shabbos, then it's mutter. As the Gemara says, Dikra Abana, Hamir Bina Maisa, because it would be going like the Abana, this statement. They say you need to do an action, as we said, to tie up the bundle, to do different things to show that it's being used on Shabbos. Whereas here, the earth, what are you going to do with it? There's nothing to do, and therefore there's no action, so therefore you wouldn't be able to use it on Shabbos for your mundane purposes. However, the Gemara says, Amalu Rab Papa, Afilu Tamir Rabban. You could even say that this statement, that it's mutter to use the basket full of earth on Shabbos, it would even be going like the Rabban. And that is Adkan Lekam Rabban de Bina Maisa, Elamidi de Ba'avi de Bimaisa. That up until now, that the Rabban said that to make it out, to make it Ois Mukta, to say that it's not Mukta anymore, that's prepared, that you need to do an action, is only something that's capable of having an action done to it. That is, you could prove it through doing an action. If you don't, then obviously it's still mukta. You're still considering it, that it's not usable on Shabbos. But something that's not capable of doing an action to it, like earth, there's nothing. How could I show? I can't change it. I can't tie it up. There's nothing that it is. It's the same basket full of if it was being used or not. And therefore, even they would agree that just mentally designated would be enough to take it out of the mukta status into prepared status. And that the Gemara wants to say, nimika tanoi. Let's say that idea is a machlikas tanoi, and this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, regarding something that an action cannot be done to it, which is, so to speak, the earth, whether it could be used on Shabbos, if that would permit it with just mentally designating it or not. Would it still require an action? An action cannot be done to it, so it would be mukta under all circumstances. As the Gemara brings, mechol chofen esakelim. With everything, one is allowed to rub different vessels, that to, so to speak, scrub it to till it shines, to, so to speak, a way of polishing it. Chutz mikli chesif begartikun. The only exception is that one is not allowed to polish silver with tartar on Shabbos. And that is because that's the generally way how they would prepare the silver. And it would scrape it. And since silver is soft, it would be over the issa deraisa, the avmalach of memachik, of smoothing. And by doing that polishing, that would be an issa. So that's asa. But all other types of rubbing are mutter and Shabbos. Ha-neser v'choyel mutter. So that would seem that even neser and sand, these two different types of, so to speak, agents, cleaning agents, are mutter because there it doesn't scrub the silver. And therefore it's going to be mutter because there's no issa. To which the Gemara asks, but Tanya Neser v'chol asa, but we learned in the Braisa that it's not just tartar that's asr on silver, but even Neser, nitre, and sand are asr to use. To which the Gemara wants to say, my love, b'hokeh mifliki, it doesn't make sense that this is what they're arguing about, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. The marsav be'in ha'maisa, u'marsav le'be'in ha'maisa. That one of them says that you need to have an action under all circumstances, even when you cannot have one, therefore it's going to be asr by this Neser and chol, whereas the other one holds that you don't need an action, and that is the one that says, the rest says that it's asr. It's not because it would be scraping like the tartar is. Rather, because it doesn't really scrape it. It would only be because of the halacha of mukter, that's why it's asr. And the one that says that it's mutter is because it's like the case of when you fill up a basket full for it and you pour it onto the ground. We're talking about chol, talking about sand. And the one that says that it's asr holds because you need to have an action. And since you can't do an action, so therefore it's going to be asr. And this is exactly what they argue about regarding this neser and chol, since there's no way of so to speak, showing by doing an action to really designate it, therefore they argue about, now since you can't do it, is it going to be us or not? Tush Gemara says, loy. The kulam loy be in a mice of lekash. Everyone agrees that it does not require an action and there's no difficulty. Because Harab Yehuda, the Amadavish ain't miskavin this usr, Had Rabbi Shimon, the Amadavish ain't miskavin mutter, and really they're arguing about a different idea. That the one that says that it's going to be asr is like Rabbi Yehuda, that says even something that was not intended is asr. And this one that says that it's mutter by Nestor Bechel, that to polish with it, to use it as polish on Shabbos, is going like Rabbi Shimon that says something that's not intended is going to be mutter. And that is that everyone agrees that something that cannot be done within an action, you don't need to have an action. Because they all agree to Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, that since you can't, so to speak, actively prepare with an action, it's enough with intending it. But the one that says that it's asr by Neser Chol, although you cannot actively designate it and you don't have to, is because sometimes it will scrape it. And although you're not intending to scrape it, it's still asr, like Rabbi Yehuda that says that Davish Ein Meskavim, something that's not intended, is still asr if it's done. Whereas the one that says that it's mutter is like Rabbi Shimon. However, the case of Graskin, the case of the tartar, there that's asr because even Rabbi Shimon would agree there, because there definitely is going to scrape, and Rabbi Shimon agrees that although Davish Ein Meskavim is mutter, you're not intending it, but if it's what's called psik reisha below yomis, if it's inevitable, then even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's asr. Since when you're, so to speak, polishing silver with tartar, it's inevitable it's going to scrape, then you can be over the isra deraisa of mamachik, even he would agree. However, this machlok of Neser Chol has nothing to do with the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, arguing about it's not because of mukta, it happens to be because of the malach of mamachik of smoothing out. And the question is, it might happen, it might not, but you're not intending it to. That's the machlok of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Davish and Miskavin. But then the Gemara asks on this pshat. But Maya Kimta Lahodeshoi, how are you saying, who is this going like the Tanna that says that it's mutter to use Neser and Chol as polish on Shabbos? You're saying like Kirb Shimon, because since you're not intending to do the Mamachik to smooth it out, and it's not inevitable, so it's going to be mutter. But Em Sefer, let's see the end of that statement. It says, Avalo Yochav Bem Sa'ari, but he's not allowed to rub his hair that is with on Shabbos with this Neser and Chol, because it's going to pull out the hair. It's, so to speak, it's very strong. Reb Shimon, Mishra Kashar, but if that's like Reb Shimon, he says it is mutter to use it. It's not as learned in the Mishnah. I continue on to Amud Beis. Regarding a Nazir, that is a Nazir during the weekdays, just like everybody on Shabbos, a Nazir is not allowed to, he has to have his hair grow, and he's not allowed to pull out his hair. Just like on Shabbos, he's not allowed to pull out his hair because that's an Isser of Gezes of pulling out one's hair. So regarding a Nazir, it says, Chayfif, he's allowed to rub his hair with Neser and Chayl, umefasves, and he could separate his hair. That is, since he's not intending to pull out any hair, it's going to be mutter. And that's obviously that this Tan is Reb Shimon, because he's the only one that says that if you're not intending to it, it's going to be mutter. So you see that Neser and Chol, that sometimes it doesn't pull out, and it's not inevitable. And that's why Reb Shimon says that regarding a Nazir, he's allowed to use Neser and Chol to, so to speak, to rub his hair. But Reb Shimon agrees that you're not allowed to comb your hair, because that's definitely going to pull out the hair. So the difficulty is, if that's like Reb Shimon, so how could that statement end off and say that, however, he's not allowed to use it on his hair? But we see from the statement that he says regarding a nazir, that's not inevitable when you use Neser and Chol on your hair that it's going to pull it out. And that's why he says mutter by a nazir. So why would he say on Shabbos it would be Asr? Obviously, it's not Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, right. Elohov ha Reb Yehuda, both of them are the Tana, going according to the Tana Reb Yehuda, that Davish and Meskaben is Asr. However, three Tanoi Elohov Reb Yehuda, there are two different Tanoic opinions in this, in the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Haitan alib de Yehuda sava gar. Haitan alib de Yehuda sava gar. That one of the Tanoim who holds like the opinion of Reb Yehuda says that it's possible that it could scrape it, and therefore it's going to be Asr. And there's another opinion that holds like Reb Yehuda says that it's not going to scrape it. It's never going to scrape it, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And therefore both of them agree that Davish and Miskaven is Asr. But the one that says that it's mutter is because it holds it will never scrape it, and therefore you're not going to come to Memachik the smoothing, and that's why it's mutter. Now the Gemara asks on that. But Maya Kimta, Reb Yehuda, so now he's saying, so who is the Tana of that? That's Reb Yehuda. So Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. It says, Avalpon of Yodav Raglav Mut. It says, however, his face and his hands and his feet, that you're allowed to use Nesra and Choyl on it. Not, in other words, although you're not allowed to use it for your hair because it might pull it out, and that's like Reb Yehuda holds Davish and Meskab and his Aser, but you're allowed to use it on your face, your hands, and your legs. But the question is, Hama Avaser, but it removes hair. And that is, he has hair on his face. So I think we'll get three truths. Either way you want, you could say it's talking about by a minor, a child. You could say it's talking about a woman. You could say it's talking about a saras. That is, all these three don't have a beard. They don't have any facial hair. And therefore, that's what it meant, that he's allowed to use it on his face and his hands and his feet, because you don't have real, legitimate hair like one has on one's head. And that's why it would be mutter, even according to Behuda, that holds that davish and miskaven, that if it sometimes might pull it out, it's usr, because you don't have no hair, and that's why it's not a problem. The Gemara continues on this exact type of halacha, different types of things that are permitted to be used to wash oneself on Shabbos, and there won't be a problem of pulling out on Shabbos. Amar Yehuda, afel levinasi shari, that powdered brick is mutter on Shabbos, and that is, you're allowed to wash your face with it, and even someone that has facial, it's not a problem, it's not considered that it's going to pull it out on Shabbos. Amar Yosef, kuspa di yasmin shari, sesame pulp is permitted to wash one's face on Shabbos. Another case, Amirava, offer pulpoli shari, that crushed pepper is permitted to use as an agent to wash one's face on Shabbos. Amrav Sheshes, barda shari, the barda is permitted to use to wash one's face. The Gemara asks, my barda. Amrav Yosef, it's tilsa ahala, v'tilsa asa, v'tilsa sigli. It's a third aloes, a third myrtle, and a third violet. And that's a permitted, so to speak, recipe to wash one's face. The Gemara brings an Amori that argues on this, an Amri of Nechemi by Yosef, that kol hecha de leka ruba ala Shabbos, as long as there's not a majority of aloes, it's permitted to use as a cleaning agent for one's face on Shabbos. And that is, he argues and he says that even if it has more than a third of aloes, not like Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef said it has to have only a third of aloes, because more than that, it's going to, so to speak, it's a very strong ingredient and it's going to pull out one's hair. However, he says, no, as long as not a majority, it's permitted. Now the Gemara continues. They ask the following question from Rav Sheshes. Ma'u liftsaya zeisim b'Shabbos. What is the halacha? You let it bruise olives on Shabbos. And that is, they would, so to speak, bruise the olives on the rocks. It would be a way of sweetening the bitterness of the olive. And the question basically is this: the prohibition of creating a food item, because in other words, it's too bitter to eat on Shabbos. It's what's called shavya uchli. You're making it into a meichel. Is that an ister to do on Shabbos? So amalahu. So he answered to him, what, the chibachol mihitir? Did they even say it's mutter even during the weekday? And the Gemara explains, what do you mean weekday? Why can't on Shabbos, I understand why. Why can't not the weekday? And then the Gemara says, K'sav imishum hefser eichlin. He felt that even during the weekday, you're not allowed to bang these olives on the rocks because of that you're wasting food. Because as you bang, as you're sweetening, a lot of the olive oil is dripping out. And that's a waste of food, which is prohibited. To which the Gemara says, Lema pliga de shmul. Let's say that this response that he gave him, that it's even usher to do on the weekday because of wasting food, that argues on the statement that Shmuel said. Shmuel said, what do you mean you're allowed to do all your mundane purposes with bread? You're allowed to use it for whatever you need it for. And therefore, you see, not like him, that we're not concerned about the wasting of the food items. The Gemara says no. Amri pasli mi'isa hana mi'isa. We could say that no, bread is different because it doesn't get repulsive. It's very versatile. You can use it for something and it's still usable. Whereas the olives, the olive oil that's dripping down the floor, it gets disgusting, repulsive, and therefore you're not going to use it. That would be considered hafsa oilchen, even according to Shmuel. So the Gemara goes back to this heta that we mentioned before in the Gemara of Barda, of using this cleaning agent on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings a story that Amemo Mazutri Vavashi have a Yaspi, that these three Tamil Chabim were sitting. So they brought in front of them Barda. So Amemo Ravashi, they used it to wash their face, and Mazutri didn't wash. So Amr Leili Sabula Mar Lahodam Rav Sheshes Barda Shoyi, so they asked him, what do you mean? Don't you hold to this halacha that it's permitted to wash one's face with the barda on Shabbos? That we said that it's not a problem about pulling out one's hair on Shabbos? So Amalahu Rav Mordechai, it's Rav Mordechai told them, he says, don't worry about him. Bar Mene Debar, Marzuch is different in this. Dafil b'chol namilis, really. Even in the weekday, he wouldn't use barda to wash his face. And the reason is, Savala Kiha Detanya, he holds like the following brisa that says, Megar Odom Gildi Tsoyev a Gildi Makash al Bisari Bishl Tsari, that a person is allowed to scrape off the crust of filth and the crust of a wound that's upon his flesh because of the discomfort that's there. He's allowed to do it for his convenience. However, in Bishvili Yapis also, but if he's taking off the crust because to beautify himself, that would be prohibited. That's the Isra, what's called La Yilbish Geber Simlas Isha, as the Pasuk in Varm Chabbeis says, that it's supposed to be considered making oneself as a woman, beautifying oneself as a womanly type of thing. And therefore he felt that barda is the same thing. It's a, so to speak, a cleaning agent that makes oneself beautiful. And therefore you're not allowed to do it even during the weekday. So forget about Shabbos. He wouldn't even do it during the weekday. To which the Gemara asked, V'indukaman Sivoru. So one of these two other Tamei Chacham that they were using it, who did they hold? Like, L'chayri, it is a problem of, so to speak, doing womanly type of things. But the Gemara says, Ki hard the time they held like the other brice that says, a person's supposed to wash his face, his hands, his feet every single day because of his Creator. That is for the honor and the glory of his Creator, as the Pasuk in Bereishis says, "Ki b'tzelem elokim asa." We are created in the divine image. You have to be beautiful. And moreover, that as the Gemara in Bracha says, that whoever sees brius nois, sees handsome people, you make a bracha, baruch shekach le'olam, that praiseworthy is Hashem that He made such things in this world. Therefore, it's something that you're supposed to beautify yourself. As the Pasuk says, Kol Po'al Hashem L'Baneu, that everything Hashem has done was for His sake. And that as the bracha we make by Sheva Brachas, Hakol Baro L'Chvayda, that He made it for His glory, for His honor. And therefore it's not a problem of L'Yilbush. We're not doing it to beautify ourselves. We're doing it for the honor, for the glory of our Creator, that we're supposed to look beautiful. And that was their machloikis, they used barda even during the week or not. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. It says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm a kupa mata al tzida v'noitel shem yitel v'chul. That is, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that when you have, you're insulating something which is permitted for the halachas of Hatmana because it only maintains the heat. It doesn't increase the intensity. So there's no problem of the gzer deban of Hatmana. But it's surrounded with something that's muktza. So what you do is, he says, you don't take off the cover and you don't take out the pot. Rather, you, so to speak, turn over the box that the whole thing is inside and the pot's in. And then you'll take out the food, but you don't go ahead and take out the pot. And the problem is, we're concerned that because you're going to take it out, and maybe all those muktzah items that's insulating it would fall in, you're not going to be able to put it back in, and therefore you don't take out the pot in the first place. And the Chacham says, no, you take it out, and you put it back in. Now the Gemara is going to explain what's the understanding of the machloikis. So Amr Baba, Amr Pchia Barashi, Hakol Moidim, She'im Niskalkal Hagum Eshos Lachz. Everybody agrees that if the pit got ruined, that is, if the, so to speak, the shearings of the wool, which are muktzah, if it fell into the hole where the pot was, that would be prohibited to go ahead and return the pot there, because then you're going to have to move away the wool shearings to the either side to be able to put the pot. And that's also because it's muktzah. To which the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Tanah, we learn now Mishnah as follows. The Chacham Oymim Neitla Machz. The Chacham argued on Rebbe Elazar. And he says, no, you could take it out and put it back. So which the Gemara says, Hey Chedami, according to what you're saying, that everyone agrees that it's muktzah and you're not allowed to go ahead and put it back in if it fell in. So Hey Chedami, what is the case of the Chacham when they say you're allowed to take it and put it back in? Idoloy Niskal Klaguma, if the pit did not get ruined when you took it out, so therefore the hole is still there, you could put it right back in. So Shapikam Rabban. Rabban is saying very well. And what's the understanding of Rebbe Elazar? Why can't you take it out and put it back in? What are you doing wrong? So obviously the Chama talking about, even if the pit got ruined and the wool shearings fell in, that still a Chama said you could go ahead and put it back in. And you're saying, however, that the Chama agree that it's us to go ahead and put it back in if it got ruined. So then what are they talking about? So the Gemara says, look, really, we're talking about that it didn't get ruined. If it didn't get ruined, so the Chama are correct. You're allowed to go ahead and put it back in because the hole is still there. You're not moving any of the muksa items. So what's the understanding of Rebbe Lassa? However, the argument is if we're concerned. And that is, if we allow you to go ahead initially to take out the pot when it's, so to speak, standing up, sometimes it's going to get ruined and the wool shirrings are going to fall into the hole. And now you're going to want to put it back on Shabbos because you want to go ahead and re-insulate what you're allowed to. So therefore, the Chum were misakin that you should never take it out because you might come to go ahead and put it back in. You're going to have to move muktza. So therefore, they said you should just push the box on the side. And that is, as the Gemara says, Marsav Achayshin Shem Neskal Kalakuma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was concerned that maybe the pit's going to get ruined, and therefore we don't want to put you in that situation, so he said just tilt over the box. Marsav Achayshin, the Chum says, no, we're not concerned about that happening, and therefore we allow you just to take it out and put it back in. And of course, if it falls in, then you're not allowed to go ahead and put it back in. So the Gemara continues on the halachas of Mukta. Rav Huna, high slikusta. Slikusta was a type of a herb which was beautiful to look at and to smell. And they would fill up a bucket with this soft earth, and they would stick in these herbs inside of it, and they would bring it in front of the royalty. And when they wanted, they would take it out, smell it, look at it, and they would put it back in its place. So regarding this slikusta, Rav Huna says that datza sholfa v'hadu datza. If someone inserted it into that soft soil in the pot, and then withdrew it, and then put it back in, then Sharia, then it's permitted to use it on Shabbos. It's not mokta. V'ilav asa, but if not, it's asa. And that is, if before Shabbos he went ahead and they put it into the earth and he took it out and put it back in, then you can use it tomorrow to take it out and put it back in because now he widened the space of the earth by pushing it in and out of where it is. And therefore, it's smoothed out from before Shabbos and he's not really moving the earth anymore because there's, so to speak, enough room. And therefore, you're not considered moving the earth, which is Muktzah on Shabbos. But if not, it's going to be Asa because then you're going to be considered moving the earth. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Omer Shmuel, Haisakina de Beni Uver, this knife that's between the bricks. And that is, they would put a knife between the bricks to, so to speak, it's a place of just protecting it. They don't want to put it on the ground where it's accessible to children, whatever, they put it between the bricks. So then, Datsa Shofa Vahad, the Datsa Shari, if before Shabbos someone inserted it into the brick and then took it out and put it back in, then be permitted to do it and take it in and out on Shabbos. Vilavas, and if not, it's prohibited, as we said before, because then you would be considered moving the brick, which is Muktza. A similar hat to the Gemara brings, Marzutra v'itemir avashi ama begurdisa dekani shabardami, that when you have a comb of reeds, then it's going to be permitted. And that is that there was a lot of reeds in one place, and they're sort of they're very tight together. You're allowed to stick in a knife inside of there, in between this comb of reeds to protect it, and you're not concerned for, this is a different halacha, but it's related, that you're going to, so to speak, be slicing off the peel of the reed, and then you'll be chayiv because of the malacha deraisa of mamachik, of smoothing out the reed. It's not concerned. It's going to be permitted to do, and we're not concerned about that. It's a similar type of halacha. But now the Gemara goes back on this, that we said, both from Rav Huna and from Shmuel, that it's going to be permitted on Shabbos only if you pushed it and took it out, pushed it from before Shabbos, but if you didn't, then it's going to be Asr. Only Rav Mardukha L'Rav. Master Rav Katina to Yuvta, that Rav Katina refuted, he had a refutation on those Rabbanan that said before, that if you don't stick in and take it out and stick in from before Shabbos, it's going to be Asr. But we learned not like that. We learned how Taimin Lefes V'tznayin is Tachas HaGefen, someone that buries a turnip and radishes under a grapevine because he wants to protect it in the ground that it should be maintained, and that's the way they used to do it. If some of the leaves of the radishes and the turnips were sticking out from under the grapevine, then you don't have to be concerned. And the Gemara is going to explain in 1 second what that is, but the reason why we said a case of that the leaves are sticking out is only for the halachas of Shabbos, not for the other halachas that the Gemara is going to bring, because if the leaves are not sticking out, then you won't have anything which to grab a hold of it, and because if not, you're going to have to move the earth, which is Muktzah on Shabbos. So if the leaves are sticking out, then it's not going to be a problem because you won't have to touch the earth because you'll be able to grab a hold of it from the leaves. However, now we continue on to the top of Nun Aleph and Mem Aleph. So this case that we said that if the leaves are sticking out, we said you don't have to be concerned Lomishim Klein, that not for the halacha of Klein, because it's not considered that it was planting as if it took root, because as long as the leaves are still sticking out, that means it's not totally there. So although it's under a grapevine, it's not considered klaim, it's not really, it didn't take root. V'loy mishum shvius, and similarly, you don't have to be concerned about the halachas of shmita, it's not like it took root yet. V'loy mishum maisa, and you have to be concerned about for the halachas of maisa, and that is, if you replanted something of maisa, it's, so to speak, it's bottled to the ground, and it's like, if you're going to take it out now, it's as if you took new crops, and you would have to take Meister on the part that was the new growths, because maybe there was new growths to it, and you would have to take off Meister from this thing that you, so to speak, replanted when you put onto the grapevine. But if the leaves are sticking out, in other words, it's not totally planted, it didn't take root, it's mutter for all these elements, not considered as planted. And the last one is, when they're telling the Shabbos, it could also be taken on Shabbos, that is, you can grab a hold of some of the leaves that are, so to speak, not covered under the ground. And you don't have to be concerned if you're going to be moving some of the earth that's inevitably going to be moved when you're taking it off on Shabbos. And therefore, the same would apply to this likusta, because you're, so to speak, you're moving this likusta, and it's, so to speak, derech agav, indirectly, you're moving the earth that it's in, or this knife that's stuck into the bricks. You're only moving the knife. Indirectly, you're going to be moving the brick. And therefore, we see over here that you're allowed to take it on Shabbos, even though it wasn't, so to speak, prepared for before Shabbos. So Shmuel says to you, it's definitely a refutation of Huna and Shmuel, that it's mutter, even if you did not stick it in, take it out, stick it in from before Shabbos. And that is, although inevitably when you're pulling out this radish or this turnip, which is under the grapevine, that's going to be moving it, since it's indirectly, it's derech agav, it's going to be mutter, even if you didn't prepare it as Rav Huna and Shmuel said.